Okay, hello everyone. We're calling the Conference Committee on Environment Budget, Senate File 2077 to order. Let the record show that today is Friday, May 9th at 1:33. Quorum's not needed during this time. Quorum will be needed when we are voting for amendment or something related to the bill. So first, I would like to start off, give an introduction of myself, and then have members introduce themselves as well. If co-chair Heisman here don't mind, I'll begin with the senator first. Is that
we okay? Won't object today.
Sounds good. Sounds good. So I'm Senator Fong Her. I represent Eastside St. Paul. This has been my 12 years in the Senate. And I'm, you know, honored to be chair this biennium of the Environment Legacy Committee. And so my district is Eastside St. Paul, start from RK to McKnight. And I remind people that that's where the Minnesota Miracle begins, you know, during the Olympic of 1988, the Miracle on Ice. And also used to be the home for 3M. Now 3M is out of my district. 3M is now in Maplewood, but it used to be the 3M used to be the heart of the Eastside St. Paul. So that's enough of me. Let's go to member first, then we follow by staff later.
Mm-hmm. Senator Steve Green, I'm from District 2. My district goes from about 10 miles north of the Detroit Lakes up to the northwest angle. Takes in all of Monoma County and goes almost over Grand Rapids. So it's a pretty big area. I like to refer to it as North Central, which it is. And so it's a big area, good area. So that's where I'm from.
I'm State Senator Mary Kunish. I represent District 39, which are the communities of St. Anthony Village and New Brighton, Columbia Heights and Hilltop, Spring Lake Park, and Fridley.
Hello, I'm Senator Ann Johnson Stewart. My district is 45. Which west of here, all of the 15 communities that touch Lake Minnetonka, plus the city of St. Bonnie. Glad to be here.
Representative Heinzman, co-chair Heinzman.
Thank you. Josh Heinzman, I represent the Brainerd Lakes area. It's actually a very small district, District 6B, and have served 11 years. This is my sixth term. It's a very recreational-based economy, and a lot of the issues we discuss here in the Environment Committee are very relevant in that part of the state.
I'm Representative Isaac Schultz. I represent House District 10B in central Minnesota. I have five rural counties there. Agriculture is the backbone of my community. In addition to that, 70% of the people who live in my district live in townships.
Representative Nathan Nelson, I serve from 11B, so that's parts of Pine, Kennebec, and Chisago counties. And there's a lot of sportsmen in my area, also a lot of agriculture, and that's kind of what drives my area.
I'm Representative Peter Fisher. My district is 44A. I butt up against Senator Herr's district, so I've got the communities of Maplewood and all of Little Canada.
Hi there. I'm State Rep Christy Purcell. I represent District 58A, which includes the town I live in Northfield and five townships.
Representative Lee Finke, District 66A, which is St. Paul, Lauderdale, Falcon Heights, and a portion of Roseville.
All right. Well, thank you, members, and we'll get to know each other as we go on with this conference committee. Let's go to our partisan staff.
Cara Josephson, committee administrator.
Michael Vu, legislative assistant, Senator Fong Her.
Hi, I'm Amy Zipko. I'm the GOP committee administrator.
Hi, I'm Peter Strom. I'm the DFL committee administrator.
And we also have our researcher, our partisan researcher, Cassie Tomadoff and Victor Flora, who's sitting in the back here. Now let's go to our nonpartisan staff. May start with the House first.
I'm Janelle Taylor with House Research.
I'm Brad Hagemarth, House Fiscal.
Ben Stanley, Senate Nonpartisan Council.
Dan Mueller, Senate Fiscal.
Sounds good. And that's going to give the highlight to Mr. Mueller there. Did I forget anything? I'll
let you. Yes. Thank you. And we have the DFL Research Chelsea behind us.
Okay, sounds good. So our agenda today is to walk through the bill side by side by nonpartisan staff. And after that, we have testimonies from our agency. So Mr. Mueller, if you can start us off, however you like, you can be there or be down there. I think that'd be fine.
Mr. Chairman, I'll be working off the spreadsheet that's in your packet. It shows the Senate positions on the left two columns and then the House positions on the right two columns. And Mr. Hagemeyer and I might be going back and forth on a few items, but it'll mostly be going through the Senate items here. The Senate had a general fund target of the Senate had a general fund target of minus $1 million in fiscal year 26-27 and plus $2 million in the tails, and the Senate achieved that target through a number of different both pluses and minuses on the general fund side. And I'll let Mr. Hagemeyer talk about the House general fund target.
Mr. Chair, the House had a minus $10 million general fund target for the current biennium or the upcoming biennium, and then a zero target for the tails biennium. And the House achieved that by making reductions to three different appropriations in 2025 and letting that balance carry forward. One reduction to DNR, one to PCA, one to Border Water and Soil Resources.
Mr. Chairman and members, so starting on the spreadsheet, I'll start going through the change items that are on the Senate side, and then I'll mention if there's any corresponding change items that on the House side that are on the same line. The way this spreadsheet works is we'll be going by agency, and the change items are listed by fund. So the first agency is Pollution Control Agency, and the first items are change items for the general fund, starting on line 16 and 17. These are the operating adjustments that were contained in the governor's budget for the PCA, the equal of $446,000 when you include the EQB in 26-27, and then $596,000 in the tails. Next item is on line 18, permitting efficiency. This was an item in the governor's budget. This equals five new FTEs in 26-27 and three new FTEs that would go on through the tails. And this is paid for in part by the general fund on line 18, and there's also some environmental fund money for permitting on line 33. The line 19 is a $500,000 per year reduction to the county feedlot program. Line 20 is a movement of $175,000 from a previous appropriation to the Department of Health, and that shows up later in the spreadsheet. Lines 21 and 22 are two appropriation line items that in the base are funded with general fund, and this is moving them over to the environmental fund. So it shows up as a negative here in general fund, but on lines 39 and 40, it shows up as a positive. So it's just shifting the money for these items from the general fund to the environmental fund. On line 23 was a previous rider for reporting fish kills of $7,000 per year, and the Senate removes that funding for that, direct funding for that item. Line 24 is another instance where the money for composting grants. Currently in the base, it's funded by a split of environmental fund and general fund. And line 24 shows removing the $300,000 per year that was coming from the general fund. And on line 41, it moves that to the environmental fund. Line 25 is a Senate item for outreach activities, $200,000 general fund. And later on, going through the policy part of the bill, there's new language that is tied to that. So the total general fund changes on the Senate side nets out to be $736,000 in fiscal year 26-27, and then a minus $944,000 in the tails. And then you can see on the House column there is their $3 million reduction to a previous appropriation for resilient communities. The environmental fund changes for PCA under lines 31 and 32 are the operating adjustments. You'll see the majority of the PCA is funded with the environmental fund, so the operating adjustments there are much higher than in the general fund. Again, on line 33 is the $1 million in each biennium for new permitting FTEs. The air appropriation increase on line 34, this is in both bills, the House and the Senate. This is tied to a EPA federal requirement that the PCA must increase their permitting, air permitting expenses and their fees for inflation. And again, that's the same in both the House and the Senate bill. Line 35 is $215,000 in the first 2 years and $195,000 in the tails for a new program dealing with mercury skin lightening cream awareness, and there's some policy language later in the bill for that. Line 37 is a reduction dealing with the old e-waste program, and the reflection of this budget now just it means that this is not being paid for separately as a new as a line item in this budget. Line 39 through 41 were all items that were formerly funded with the general fund that are now being funded by the environmental fund. So the new general or environmental fund spending on the Senate side is $13.585 million in the first biennium and then $15.274 in the tails. And you'll see on the House side, they have the just the money dealing with the air appropriation increase, and that's $1.9 million in first biennium and $2.6 in the tails. Other fund changes for PCA, the first line 47 is the operating adjustment that comes from the remediation fund. That's almost $3 million. In the first biennium and 3.3 in the tails. There's a line 48 is a governor's proposal for two new FTEs dealing with a site assessment backlog on the remediation fund. So that's $700,000 each biennium. And then there's two different approaches to the CLIF appropriation. I'll talk about the Senate side. The Senate side makes a direct appropriation of $6.5 million per year, or for just fiscal year 26 and 27. Currently, there is no base amount for CLIF spending, and the House has, well, I'll let Mr. Hagemeyer explain that.
Mr. Chair, the House on line 49 has an extension of the current statutory appropriation that would expire on June 30th of this year. This extends it four more years.
So, Mr. Chairman, finishing up PCA here, the other fund totals here are about $16.7 million in fiscal year 26-27 for the Senate. Most of that is just continuing the closed landfill investment fund appropriation and $3.9 million in the tails. The House's only item here is the ongoing appropriation for the closed landfill investment fund, and that's $9 million for each biennium. Next, the bottom part of the page shows the fee changes. Dealing with PCA, and both sides are just showing the air appropriation increase, and that's the same amount that was being increased from the spending on line 34. The next page, we start with the DNR. Again, the first set of changes are general fund changes. On lines 79 and 80 are the operating adjustments dealing with line 79 is all the divisions of DNR are rolled into this one line. So it's 6.1 million per year in first biennium and 8.156 in the tails. And then there's a separate operating adjustment for the Forest Resource Council at $35,000 in 26-27 and $42,000 in the tails. Line 82 is a general fund reduction dealing with groundwater, and this is being replaced by a fee increase on the groundwater program. And that is shown down on line 105. So that's a general fund reduction that's being replaced by a fee increase that goes into a different account. Line 83 is a one-time appropriation of $160,000 to complete the land transfer. This was from an appropriation previously of $750,000, and the DNR has requested another $160,000 to complete that transfer due to the increased final cost of the land. Line 84 is a general fund reduction to the Aquatic Invasive Species Program, $1.2 million per year, and this is being replaced down on line 106 with a $2.5 million increase tied to the fee increase in the bill for AIS. Line 85 is a Senate item for Sustainable Foraging Task Force. There's two appropriations. This one is $129,000 that goes to DNR, and later on in the spreadsheet, there's another appropriation that goes to the Legislative Coordinating Committee. Line 86 is a reduction to the Private Landowner Technical Assistance Program in the Division of Forestry. A reduction is $500,000 per year. Line 88 and 89 are two general fund appropriations, Silver Bay Trailhead for $400,000 and the Redhead Mountain Bike Park for $500,000. These were two appropriations that were in the 2023 bill, also from the general fund, but the appropriations expired before they could get off the ground, so this reappropriates those two items. Line 90 is a $500,000 per year reduction to the Whitetail Deer Farm Oversight program within the DNR. Line 91 is a new item that there's some language in the bill, in the policy part of the bill, for outdoor schools for all. It's $500,000 the first year and then $348,000 ongoing. Line 92 is a similar item to what was in the PCA for outreach activities. $225,000, and there's some language in the policy part of the bill that ties to this appropriation. Then I will note on line 95, there is an extension of a previous appropriation for the Dakota County boat launch. $1.2 million was appropriated and hasn't been spent yet, and so this the bill has an extension of that appropriation. So that is shown on line 95 and 96. The Senate has a reduction to a previous appropriation for drought relief tree seedlings and cancels that amount for $3.915 million, and that will cancel back to the general fund. Line 98 is the House reduction that Mr. Hagemeyer talked about, a $5 million reduction to the grasslands and wetlands. This was from a previous appropriation, and that's a $5 million reduction. Next, we have changes to the Natural Resources Fund. Line 103 is a bunch of operating adjustments that go throughout the agency through different divisions and from different accounts. All that is rolled up into one line. On line 103, Natural Resources Fund operating adjustments, it's $8.3 million in the first biennium and $9.3 million in the tails. Lines 105 is dealing with the fee increase to the groundwater program. This is replacing some of the general fund reductions from the same program. Line 106 is tied to the fee increase for the AIS program, and it provides $2.5 million new spending. So after you subtract out the general fund reduction, there'll be about $1.3 million of new money going to the DNR for AIS programs. Lines 109 through 117 are various one-time grants for ATV trails. Lines 110, 109 through 112 are all different grants for different trails through St. Louis County. Line 114 is for $200,000 for the ATV City of Duluth. And then 115 is the Voyager County ATV Trail, St. Louis County, and 116 Prospector Trail, St. Louis County. And then those all come from the dedicated ATV account. And line 117 is a one-time increase to the grant and aid program, also from the ATV account. There's a ongoing increase of $75,000 per year for the motorcycle, off-highway motorcycle grant and aid program on line 118. And then line 119 is tied to some policy language that is in the bill dealing with abandoned watercraft enforcement. There's some policy in the bill that we can look at later. And this increases spending tied to that of $262,000 per year ongoing, and that comes from the water rec account, which is funded through boat fees. So the new spending on the Senate side tied to Natural Resources Fund is $20.974 million in the first biennium and $21.4 million in the tails, and there's no change items on the House side dealing from the Natural Resources Fund. Next page, on page three, is the change items in the Game and Fish Fund. The operating adjustments are on line 125 and 126 of $1.8 million from the Game and Fish operating account in 26-27 and $2.264 in the tails. And then this other account that's in the Game and Fish Fund, the Heritage Enhancement account, has $538,000 increase the first biennium and 510 in the tails. The other item in the Senate bill that uses Game and Fish Fund resources is there's a study of muskies in Leech Lake, and that uses $177,000 for that study. There's also an extension of shooting sports facility grants in the Senate side. That's a previous appropriation, and it's extending that availability of about $280,000. So the net increase of Game and Fish Fund is $2.5 million in 26-27 and about $2.8 million in the tails. Other fund change items, there's a part of the operating adjustment on line 34 is funded out of the Permanent School Fund, $48,000 in the first biennium and $60,000 in the tails. And then line 135 is another just spending out of a dedicated special revenue account for the abandoned watercraft. This basically spends any fines that they would recover as a result of that new program. Fee changes for the DNR are starting on line 142. The blanks are on the first lines. That was the governor's park fee increase, and that is on neither side, the House or the Senate. The Senate's AIS boat fee increase is on line 146. That brings in about $6.45 million the first biennium and $8.6 million in the tails. The groundwater fee increase on line 147 brings in about $3 million in the first biennium and $5.8 in the tails. The Senate bill has a change to for hunting and fishing licenses for disabled veterans, and that lowers money going to the Game and Fish Fund. You'll see that on line 148. And then the line 149 is the anticipated recovery of fines and any other expenditures dealing with abandoned watercraft. So the total fees on the Senate side on dealing with DNR is about $9.256 million in 26-27 and $13.9 million in the tails. The next agency is Metropolitan Council. The only change here on the Senate side is an increase of the lottery and lieu account appropriation of $250,000 per year. And there's no change on the House side. The next agency is Minnesota Conservation Corps. Both the Senate and the House side are just, there's no change item, so it's just base funding for that. Next page, top page four, is Board of Water and Soil Resources. The Senate has a change item of operating adjustment. That is the only change item on the Senate side. On the House side, you'll see on line 196 is the one-time reduction to one of the working grasslands program of $2 million. And that is the last item that the House had that gets to their $10 million negative target. The next agency is Minnesota Zoo. The Senate has an operating adjustment of on line 211 of $1 million in 2627 and about 1.4 in the tails. There's no change on the House side. The Science Museum, both the Senate and the House, has no change to the base funding for that. That is it for the agencies. Other agencies in the bill on the Senate side, you'll see on line 234 through 235, this is the showing the money that got that is being transferred from the Pollution Control Agency to the Department of Health, $175,000, and it also extends that appropriation. So that's shown on line 235, 236. The other item is on line 238 on the Senate side. This is the second half of the funding for the Foraging Task Force, and this is the amount that goes to the Legislative Coordinating Commission that will help coordinate the task force. So that's $198,000 from the general fund. The other change item that's on the Senate side that is used to get to the Senate target, the Senate eliminates the ongoing transfer of $100,000 per year going to the Metropolitan Landfill Contingency Action Trust account. I think I got that right. But that's $100,000 per year of an ongoing transfer, and the Senate repeals that transfer, and the House has that transfer ongoing as part of the base budget. The next page just shows how each the House and the Senate gets to the general fund target. You'll see on lines on the Senate columns, there's net increase on the Pollution Control Agency of $736,000. DNR $680,000, Board of Water and Soil Resources $463,000, Minnesota Zoo $1 million. Then there's the negative $200,000 by eliminating the transfer to the MLCAT, and then the Legislative Coordinating Commission. So there's $2.9 million of new spending, that is offset by $3.9 million of the one-time reduction. That is how the Senate gets to its $1 million reduction. And then in the tails, you'll see the same that some of the agencies have pluses and minuses, but the Senate has a tails target of $2 million. On the House side, on line 271, is the $10 million from the three different reductions that Mr. Hagemeyer talked about. I'll skip down to transfers. On line 593, both the House and the Senate this is a base transfer of $24 million per year that goes from the Environmental Fund to the Remediation Fund. That's in both the House and the Senate, and that's an ongoing transfer that happens each year. As part of the operating increase to the PCA, some money gets transferred from the Petroleum Tank Fund to the Environmental Fund to help pay for that operating increase, and that's shown on line 595, 596. That's about $1.36 million in the first biennium and $1.478 million in the tails. Line 598 and 599 just shows the spending that comes from the Permanent School Fund first month get transferred out of the forest suspense account. The Senate just has different language here than the House. The House does something similar, at least with the base, and the Senate is just showing it a little bit differently. And then on lines 602 through 605, both the House and the Senate shows some transfer of a previous appropriation within the PCA that was going to the general fund for pollution prevention. And there's some revolving loans within those appropriations. So both the House and Senate has those previous appropriations going to the environmental fund where they're better able to work with revolving loans. And that is it for the budget part of the bill, which would be Article 1. I'm going to quickly just just talk with about the other pages in the spreadsheet, just to, so we can get through that. The Senate does contain the appropriations from the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, and that is in Article 2. And on the spreadsheet, that is covered on pages, let me see, 6 through 13. So I'm not going to go into detail about that. These are just the same recommendations that came from the LCCMR. Article 3 on the Senate side contains the appropriations for the from the Environmental and Natural Resources Trust Fund for the community grants program, and it is appropriating both years of that. And each year is 20, and you'll see that on page 13 of the spreadsheet. Each year of that is $28.18 million for a total of $56 million. The last page of the spreadsheet just shows some extensions that were carried in the Article 2 of the Environment Natural Resources Trust Fund and just the tracking of those extensions. Mr. Chairman, that is it for the spreadsheet.
Member, any question to Mr. Mueller regarding the spreadsheets? Mr. Stanley?
Mr. Chair, members, good afternoon. I am going to walk you through the policy differences, and those begin on R107 of the side-by-side. This is mostly going to be Senate language from Senate Article 4. And I will just start and stop me with any questions, Mr. Chair. The first policy section is a Senate-only Section 1 on R107 that requires the DNR to ensure that all of its work is conducted in a manner that facilitates outreach to Minnesotans of diverse backgrounds, cultures, and languages. The next section spans R107 to R108. It's Senate-only Section 2. This is establishing the new Outdoor Schools for All grant program that Mr. Mueller mentioned. On R108 through R109, Mr. Chair, is a Senate-only Section 3 providing for the seizure and forfeiture of abandoned watercraft. This section also imposes related criminal and civil penalties. Section 4 on R109 through R110 is a Senate-only section that increases the watercraft aquatic invasive species surcharge. Section 5 on R110 is a conforming change related to the abandoned watercraft provision. It is Senate only. As is the next provision, Section 6 on R110. This is also related to abandoned watercraft. It imposes consequences for a conviction of abandoning a watercraft. Senate's only sections 7, 8, and 9 on R110 through R113 are all related to reducing game and fish license fees for disabled veterans. Next is a Senate only section 10 on R113 through R115 that increases water use permit fees. On that same page is a Senate only section 11 that increases the application fee for a water appropriation permit. Next, Mr. Chair, is Senate section 12 and House Article 2 section 1. These provisions are different. They are found on R115 through R116. These are the changes to the closed landfill investment fund statute. The Senate version is sort of a technical modification in that it's repealing the statutory appropriation that was set to expire on June 30th. And this goes along with the one-time appropriations from that fund on the Senate side that Mr. Mueller mentioned. What the House language is doing is, instead of repealing this statutory appropriation, as Mr. Hagemeyer said, it's extending it for an additional 4 years. Next, on R116 is a Senate-only Section 13 that requires, this is the counterpart to the DNR provision I mentioned earlier, that requires PCA to ensure that all of its work is conducted in a manner that facilitates outreach to Minnesotans of diverse backgrounds, cultures, and languages. Section 14 is found on R116 through R118. It gives the Pollution Control Agency the authority to issue field citations for failure to provide the agency with information it needs to develop or reissue permits or amendments to permits. It also authorizes the agency to issue field citations for failure of a business required to make a certification that I'll talk about in a minute. Section 15, which is a Senate-only section on R118 through R120, goes along with the previous section in that it sets the fines for those field citations. Section 16 is a Senate-only section on R120, and this is related to the previous two sections. It requires businesses that sell skin lightening products to certify that those they will not sell those products that contain mercury. Senate Section 17, House Article 1, Section 10, on R120 through R125. These provisions are different in the two chambers' bills. The Senate version modifies a previous PCA appropriation to extend the availability and to, this is the one that Mr. Mueller mentioned, shift some money from the PCA to the Department of Health. The House version is just part of the House's meeting its negative target that Mr. Hagemeyer mentioned earlier. The next section is the only identical section in the policy article, Mr. Chair. It is Senate Section 18, House Article 1, Section 11 on R125 through R130. And this is language that ensures that when loans from two PCA revolving loan programs are paid back, the money is deposited back into those revolving loan programs. Next is Senate Section 19, House Article 1, Section 13 on R130 through R134. This is another section modifying a previous appropriation. The Senate version here is extending the availability of shooting sports facility grants, while the House is modifying this section to meet its negative target. Section 20 on R134 through R136 is a Senate-only provision that creates a Minnesota Sustainable Foraging Task Force. And the final section in this article is Section 21 on the Senate side. It's a Senate-only provision that places a moratorium on rulemaking related to foraging until July 1st of 2027. And Mr. Chair, that's all for Senate Article 4. Senate Article 5, which does not have a House counterpart, is the lands article, and it contains what you normally find in a lands bill, and I won't go through it unless the committee wants me to. And that's it, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mrs. Stanley. Any questions on the report that Mrs. Stanley just mentioned? Okay, now we go to our testimony from agencies, starting with MPCA, Commissioner Kessler. And welcome, Commissioner.
Thank you, Chair Herr, and Chair Heinzman, and Chair Fisher, and members of the committee. I'm Katrina Kessler, Commissioner of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. Thanks for the opportunity to be here with you today. First of all, I want to acknowledge that all of the work you have done is appreciated, and that all three chairs and all members of the committees should be commended for the work to get here. So I appreciate that both the House and Senate portions recognize the core work the MPCA does to protect air, land, and water. Thank you for considering critical provisions like the extension of our access to the closed landfill investment fund and the air appropriation increase. I also appreciate that non-controversial or technical budget items were included in both the House and Senate, so just thank you off the top. And you've heard me say this before, and I want to underscore the importance of passing the operating adjustments this year for all the agencies, particularly for the MPCA. I appreciate that this is included in the Senate position, and I hope we can work together to ensure that the essential work that the MPCA is doing at its current levels can continue.
And as we work towards shared priorities like permitting reform and permitting efficiency and increased engagement with communities, the operating adjustment becomes even more important. The MPCA first needs adequate funding for our current level of service in order to issue permits more efficiently and keep the same rigorous process in place. I appreciate where areas of the governor's priorities have shown up in each of the chamber's bills, which is detailed in the letter that we've provided to the conference committee. Your engagement and administration throughout the session has been productive and collegial, and I look forward to continuing the partnership as we strive to put Minnesotans first in the final budget bill that works for the environment and the economy. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner. Let's call Assistant Commissioner of DNR, Mr. Bob Meyer. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Here from today on behalf of Commissioner Sarah Stroman, who is up at the governor's fishing opener in Cross Lake. She looks forward to seeing you all up there, who's ever going to be up there this weekend, to participate in that annual event, rite of passage into spring and into the walleye fishing season. With that, Mr. Chairs, we do appreciate the work you and your committees have done on the Omnibus Environment, Natural Resources, Policy, and Finance Bill. We appreciate the thoughtful consideration on how to best navigate budgetary constraints and support Minnesota's environment, economy, and people into the future. We look forward to working with you to finalize a budget and advance important policy provisions that help us serve Minnesotans and manage natural resources. Addressing inflation and operating costs is our primary objective in this budget bill. Keeping pace with inflation is essential to maintain DNR services such as park operations, forest management, conservation work, and timely permitting processes. We urge the committee to include the DNR's proposed operating adjustment in the final bill. Without this operating adjustment, Minnesotans will experience service erosion on these and other issues in the coming years. The Senate bill and the governor's bill does contain several provisions relating to outdoor recreation and natural resources management fee increases. We do appreciate the support from the Senate, including the fee increases, including the groundwater use and AIS surcharge. The House bill does not include any of these fee increases, and we hope you will consider their approach. The groundwater is vital to Minnesota's present and future prosperity, supplying 75% of our drinking water and 90% of the water used for agriculture irrigation. It's critical that we have the services and the staff needed to evaluate these proposals as they move forward and ensure that we have water for everyone, not just the people who are on there, and it's not a last in, first out, or things like that. So we look forward to working with you on that. And also the AIS surcharge. Commissioner Stroman in our conversations this morning wanted me to bring up the fact that in conversations with the Whitefish Area Property Association and other lake associations at the fishing opener, they strongly support the AIS fee surcharge increase, and we hope that you can address that into the future. The park permit fee is not in either bill, but we have been working with Senator Herr on a different proposal contained in Senate File 3307 that at some point in time we hope to be able to communicate with the conference committee on or bring it up next year. Legal and public safety costs are not on either side of the bill, but we encourage the committee to reconsider funding for legal costs and public safety preparedness. Without funding for legal fees, costs will be forced to be paid from programs and services in areas that are already stretched by general fund pressures, and funding for public safety preparedness is necessary for our conservation officers to be able for general public safety needs and protection of our state assets. The Senate bill also contains a provision that was in the governor's budget for discounted hunting and angling licenses for veterans, working off of our 100% free disability license program. The DNR and DVA have been working on a proposal that would provide $5 hunting and fishing license fees for disabled veterans from 50% to 99%. This does place continued pressure on the Game and Fish Fund as it, the bill as it's written does take those funding sources from the Game and Fish Fund or the other licensed hunters and anglers in the state, and we look forward to working with the committee on resolving those potential impacts into the Game and Fish Fund balances as we move forward. I want to thank the Senate and Senator Kunish for the additional funding needed for the the Mille Lacs Lake land transfer issue. When we first priced that proposal, it was based off of a stale appraisal, and those appraisal costs have increased, so we appreciate the funding to allow us to continue that. And lastly, Mr. Chair, the foraging task force, I just want to bring up a couple points there. The DNR continues to have concerns about the foraging task force proposal contained in the Senate bill. As written, the task force gives a majority voice to consumptive users of public lands while excluding the voices of those who use public lands for non-consumptive uses. In addition, the language would prohibit the DNR from setting limits on foraging activities unless supported by data. This is vague and inconsistent with best practices related to conservation and resource management. As a resource management agency, we set harvest limits on many types of resources, particularly fish, wildlife, plants, and water. Determined appropriate limits involve a variety of information, including scientific data, contextual information, and social factors. We look forward to working with the conference committee to resolve these issues and coming up with a budget that is great for all Minnesotans. Thank you.
Thank you, Assistant Commissioner. Next, I'd like to call Ms. Andrea Fish from the Board of Water, or Bowser in short. Welcome, Assistant Director, to the Conference Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Andrea Fish. I'm Assistant Director of the Board of Water and Soil Resources. Thank you for letting us come here today. We know that you've got a lot of hard work both in the rearview mirror and ahead of you, and we want to make sure that you know that we are here to address any questions that you might have and continue working with you as you develop a final conference committee report. Executive Director John Jasky was not able to be here today, but he did provide a letter that should be in your documents today, and I just wanted to make sure to share a couple of the key comments on the record. And first, with the agency budget, we do appreciate consideration for the operating adjustment that is in the Senate bill right now. This helps us maintain our current level of service protecting Minnesota's lands and waters. And we also want to note that changes to prior appropriated funds, particularly for easement funding, could have an impact on the ability to leverage federal funds via our Federal Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program. In terms of policy, we know that there is not a lot of major changes to the work that we do to protect Minnesota's lands and waters, but we can continue to work with you all as those work through the system as well. And we wanted to note our support for the inclusion of removal of duplicative reporting requirements for the state's drainage work group. We provide administrative assistance for that group and have supported their efforts to bring that forward this year as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Fish, Assistant Director. Next, I'd like to call Minnesota Zoo, Mr. John Frawley, Executive Director. Welcome, Mr. Frawley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, co-chairs, committee members, and staff. Thank you for the time and for your work. John Frawley, Minnesota's Director of the Minnesota Zoo. We have submitted a letter to all of you that should be in your folders regarding the zoo's budget position. As a reminder, the Minnesota Zoo is a really unique state agency. Approximately one-third of our funding comes from the state, and the rest, two-thirds of it, is revenue we have to earn ourselves through retail events in our gate. So it's a very unique state agency. That two-thirds we run kind of like a Main Street business. The one-third that comes from the state is critical because that one-third is what helps us power raising the two-thirds of our budget. So it's a very unique situation. The letter you received outlines the current governor's recommendation. That recommendation for the Minnesota Zoo creates about a $6 million shortfall over the upcoming biennium. So, you know, we at the zoo, we know we need to be part of, and the Minnesota Zoo needs to play a role in helping the state deliver a balanced budget. And so to respond to this, over the last month, we have started preparing a FY26 budget approach that cuts over $2 million current operation at the Minnesota Zoo. What we're preparing would eliminate positions. It includes layoffs, 42% reduction in education, 11% reduction in marketing, 9% reduction in our maintenance facility, 9% in our events, and 2% in zookeepers, veterinarians, and all other departments. So we are starting to work on the reductions that I think we need to do to help inform the budget. We also are planning on small increases to zoo admissions to help offset. But with that said, and in the letter, we are requesting that the committee would please consider, because all the cuts we're listing, that I just listed, we're requesting that the committee consider increasing our rec by $1.3 million per year. With all the cuts, this request would allow us to avoid the layoffs that are coming our way with this governor's rec. And the key there is, once again, back to we need the staff to be able to generate that two-thirds revenue. So that's critical for our business model. So Mr. Chair, co-chairs, committee members, staff, once again, thank you for your time and for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Executive Director Frawley. Members, also in your package is written testimonies from other agencies. Is in your packet as well as online for the public. So any question from members in regarding our logistic before we move on or adjourn this first conference committee? And also any remarks from members, short remarks, and due respect, the other body are still in session. So if there's no question, co-chair, any remark? The next gavel holding will be the House side, and I'll pass the gavel over. The date is yet to be decided.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just this was a first step to get us towards completing our work, and glad we could meet today to get that accomplished.
Well, thank you, members from both sides and staffs as well. It could be a short negotiation, or it could be a long negotiation. From the Senate side, my perspective, it's like I'd like to get it done before the end of session. So thank you, and meeting is adjourned.